Welcome to Eternal Truth Radio program brought to you by the Mill Street Church of Christ. The Mill Street Church of Christ meets at 415 North Mill Street in London, Kentucky. We assemble on Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. for Bible study, 10:50 a.m. for worship, as well as 6 o'clock p.m. on Sunday evenings for evening worship. We also meet on Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. for a midweek Bible study. We'd be delighted to have you with us for any of these services. Should you like to have someone come to your home and study the Bible with you, or a free copy of today's program, or a free copy of a Bible lesson through the mail, or if you have Bible questions, requests can be made by calling 234-5055 or 878-6108, or we can be reached on email at millstreetcoc@windstream.net. You might also pay us a visit online at our website at www.millstreetcoc.org. That's www.millstreetcoc.org, where you can listen to sermons and read articles on various Bible topics. Eternal Truth can be heard each Sunday morning from 9:30 to 10 o'clock on 1400 AM, WFTG. We invite you to continue listening and tell others about the program. And now, let's look into God's eternal truth together.
Welcome to another edition of Eternal Truth Radio Broadcast. I'm Donnie Oliver. I'm so thankful, listeners, that you are with us on today's program, and I want you to know how appreciative we are that you are with us. It's encouraging to us to know that there are people like you who have a disposition of heart that are interested in spiritual things and will take the time to listen to a broadcast where religious matters are discussed. We appreciate that very much. I want to encourage you, as I do on every program, to take your Bible out, follow along with me, ensure that what I'm saying is in harmony with the Word of God. And if you have questions about the things that you hear on the program, or if you would like to have us come to your home and study the Bible with you, we want you to know that We stand at the ready to do that. We'll answer any question that you have with a Thus Saith the Lord. We'll give you book, chapter, and verse for the things that you ask. So you be sure to contact us if you have questions. Again, if you'd like to have the program on CD, or if you'd like to have a correspondence course through the mail so that you can study the Bible further in the privacy of your own home or at your own leisure, or if you need a Bible, all of those things can be put in the mail to you at free of charge. It won't cost you anything. The postage will even be paid to get it to you. Again, if you'd like for us to come to your home and study the Bible with you, we stand at the ready to do that. We'll come out to your home and we'll study with you. We'll have an open heart and an open Bible, and we'll reason together with you from the Scriptures if that's your desire. Again, our contact information is 234-5055, or you might give us a call at 878-6108. Let me also encourage you to pay us a visit online at www.millstreetcoc.org. And there you can listen to various sermons that are presented by the Mill Street Church of Christ, or listen to the past radio programs as those are being uploaded, or Bible classes, or you can read various different articles. You can also watch short videos on the website, so be sure to pay us a visit online as well. Today I want to talk to you for just a little while about some things that God's Word can do for you. You know, God's Word is the most important thing that we have on this earth, because without it we wouldn't know what God would have us to know in order to be pleasing to Him. The Bible will accomplish what no other book will accomplish. And so it is very important to us, it's very precious to us. And we need to understand that there are some things that God's Word can do for us. We live in a time when the thinking among many is that the Word of God is outdated, it's irrelevant, it's not in touch with modern man and needs to be either discarded or updated. But that thinking is not right. God's Word will forever be relevant. It doesn't need to be updated or modernized. In fact, Jesus stated very simply that it will stand forever, Matthew 24 and verse 35. And so let's think about some things this morning on the program that God's Word can do for you. The first thing that I want you to think about is that God's Word can give you understanding. Now think about that. In Psalm 119, verse 130, the psalmist declared, "The entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple." Through God's Word, we can know what God would have us to know. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 3, the Bible says that God has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. In Psalm 119, verses 104 and 105, the Bible says, "Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." You see, without the Word of God, we wouldn't know how to walk in this dark world that we live in. And so God expects us to know His will. You know, the Bible teaches, listener, that salvation is in Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 10 talks about that. That salvation is in Christ. God wants you to know about that. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, the Bible says, talking about God, who will have all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. In Ephesians 5 and verse number 17, Paul, writing to those at Ephesus, said, "Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." You see, in the Old Testament, Israel was destroyed because they had a lack of knowledge. God said through the prophet Hosea in chapter 4 and verse number 6, "My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge." And so God's Word can give you understanding. God's Word will give you the knowledge that you need to have. Remember that Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse number 32, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." And God's Word is identified in John 17 and verse 17 as being truth. The second thing I want you to think about on the program is that God's Word can build you up. God's Word will exhort when no other book can. In the book of Acts chapter 20, verses 28 through 32, Paul is talking to these elders, and he tells them, sums up his conversation with them in verse 32 when he said, "And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace." Now watch what he says, "which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified." God's Word will build you up if you let it. If you read it, you study it, believe it, and obey it. It will build you up. No other book can do what the Bible can. But there's another thing that the Bible has the capability of doing, and that is by encouraging you. Listener, put the Bible to the test. Think about any area of your life and see if there isn't some instruction in the Bible, words of encouragement in that particular area of life. You think about that, whether it's a relationship of a husband and a wife that's found in Ephesians chapter 5, or a father to his children, or the children to the parents, that's Ephesians chapter 6. On and on the list could go. The Bible is a source of encouragement. Now think about that. Who has not been encouraged by the words of the Bible? Like 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 58, when the Bible says, "Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Indeed, we are encouraged by the Word of God. When you think about all the examples afforded to us in the Bible, examples of individuals who were serving God in the midst of difficulties and trials and tribulations, whether it's the apostles, and Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 about the things that he suffered, or 1 Corinthians chapter 4, he talks about the apostles being made a spectacle unto the world, being looked at as a filth of the world. But yet they continued to be steadfast in the teaching of God's Word. Acts chapter 5 and verse number 42. What an encouragement that is to you and to me. What about the example that we have in our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ, that He lived a relatively short life, but yet accomplished so much that He was willing to go to the cross and lose His life for you and for me. Is that not encouraging? Sure it is. So God's Word will encourage us in moments of difficulty, trial, loss, suffering, heartaches, whatever it may be. It will encourage us to do what is right, that heaven will be our home in the after while. But you know, the Bible will also comfort you. Listener, who is not being comforted by a reading of the 23rd Psalm? You know, usually you hear the 23rd Psalm when someone passes away. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You're familiar with that psalm. And a lot of times that's read at the funeral of a loved one. But who is not being comforted by a reading of Psalm 23? Or a reading of the 3rd Psalm or the 5th Psalm? This third psalm, when David talks about that there was many that would say of his soul that there was no help for him in God. And then he says that he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord heard him from his holy hill. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon God's people, David declared in the last verse of the third psalm. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18, the Apostle Paul there is talking about the hope that individuals have when they die in the Lord. And he tells the Christians at Thessalonica, he says, "Brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him." Remember that? That's 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning with verse 13. And then he talks about those that are alive and remain at the coming of the Lord shall go up to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And he says in verse number 18, "Wherefore comfort one another with what? These words." What a comfort that those words are to us. To know that if we die in the Lord, that there's hope. Now, we don't have to be sorry for those who have died in the Lord. Now, it's a sorrowful thing for those who have died out of the Lord. But for those who have died in the Lord, we don't have to be sorry for them, because there's hope of a better life than the life that they had here. So not only will God's Word give understanding, listener, not only will it build you up or exhort you, and not only will it encourage you and comfort you, God's Word can cause you to grow. You know, as God's people, we're admonished to grow. In the book of 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 18, the Bible says, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." And what causes us to grow? Have you ever thought about that? What is it that causes the Christian to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord? When you look at 2 Peter chapter 2, and beginning with verse number 1, the Bible says, or 1 Peter rather, chapter 2, begin with verse 1, he says, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious." You see, it's by the Word of God that we are able to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord. If we don't study the Bible, listeners, we'll stunt our growth. And evidently, that was a condition of some of those that the Hebrew writer wrote to, because in the book of Hebrews chapter 5, we read that they should have grown, but they had not grown as they should. In Hebrews chapter 5, beginning with verse number 12, the Hebrew writer stated, "For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised, to discern both good and evil." So he's saying here that they should have been at a time when they were able and capable of teaching others. But he said, "You've not done that." Evidently, they had not grown the way that they should have grown. So remember that God expects us to grow. And the only way that we're going to grow in knowledge is to open up the Bible and to read it and to study it. The Bible says in Psalm 1, verses 1 and 2, He says, Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he goes on to say that that man would be blessed in his deeds for continuing in the Word of God. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 15, Paul is admonishing Timothy to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And so again, the only way that we're going to know the truth, the only way that we're going to be able to grow, is to open the Bible and to study it. By the way, how are you doing on that, listener? Are you spending time studying the Word of God, meditating upon the Word, and obeying it? You know, it's not enough just to hear it. It's not enough just to read it, but we have to believe it and obey it. In the book of James, chapter 1, beginning with verse number 21, notice what James said. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass, for he beholdeth himself, goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. So we need to read it, believe it and obey it, and then share it with others. But I also want us to understand that God's Word can give you an accurate reflection of yourself. You know, if we'll sit down with the Bible and we'll open it and begin to read it and take inventory of our lives, we'll know where we fall short at. We'll know where we're doing okay. But we'll know where we need to make improvements when we read it. Again, notice in James chapter 1, beginning with verse number 24. Or 23 rather, he said, For if any man be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his face in a natural glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But you know, when we look into the word of God, it accurately reflects who we are, whether we're right in the sight of God or whether we're not. We read it and we see the commands that God has given, and we just need to ask ourselves the question, are we doing that? Have we obeyed? Are we living according to the way that God would have us to live as revealed in the Bible? If not, we need to make improvements while we have opportunity to do that. The time may very well be and come when you would like to do things, but you are no longer physically able to do them. Now's the time to do it. While you have strength and while you have the ability and a right mind to be able to do those things. But you know, the Word of God can also save you. Did you know that the Bible says that we are saved by a number of things? The Bible says that we're saved by the blood of Christ, Revelation chapter 1. Says that the Bible says that we're saved by grace, Ephesians 2, verses 8 through 10. The Bible says that we are saved by obeying the gospel, 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. The Bible says that we are saved by baptism, 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. And the Bible says that we are saved by the Word of God. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, the Apostle Paul stated, For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Remember that in John 8:32, the Lord said, And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Again, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4, when Paul is writing to those at Corinth, he says, Begin with verse 1, Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. in the book of James, chapter 1 and verse 21, as we read a moment ago, when he said, "Wherefore, laying apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to what? Save your soul," he says. In the book of 1 Peter, chapter 1, beginning with verse 22, Peter said, "Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever." And he goes on to say, For man is as a flower, or grass of the field, and the glory of man as a flower. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word, verse 25, which is by the gospel preached unto you. And so we'll purify our hearts when we obey the teachings of the Bible. Have you done that? In just a moment, we're going to tell you how to become a Christian. And we hope that you, if you've not done that, that this day you will choose to do that. The last thing that I want you to think about on the program is that God's Word will keep you from slipping. Now, that's not saying that you cannot fall from a right relationship with God. We know that you can. We know that the Bible says that an individual can obey God and then turn and fall from a right relationship with God. So we understand that. That's why the Bible says in places like Revelation chapter 2 and verse number 10, the latter part of it, "Be ye therefore faithful, and I will give thee a crown of life." And so we know that we can fall from a right relationship with God. But if we will obey the gospel, and we will study the Bible, and we will apply it to our life, and we will live faithful according to it, it'll keep us from falling. You know, the Bible says in Psalm 73 and verse 2, the psalmist said, "My feet were almost gone. My steps had almost slipped." And so we know that we can fall, but if we will obey the words of truth, and in times of difficulty, in times of turmoil, and in times of making difficult decisions, if we will consult the book of books, the Bible, and see what God would have us to do, we'll make the right decision. But absent that, when individuals make decisions without knowing what God would have them to do, many times they make the wrong decisions. And the consequences can be very dire. And so God's Word will keep us from falling if we will simply obey it and live faithful according to it. Let me ask you the question. Have you obeyed the gospel of Christ today? You know, there's a great judgment day coming. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 10 talks about it. And the Bible says in Romans 2 and verse 16 that the gospel is going to be the standard that the Lord will use on that great judgment day to judge people. You and me will be judged according to the words of the gospel. Jesus said in John 12 and verse number 48, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my sayings has one that judgeth him. The words that I have spoken, the same shall judge him at the last day." Have you become a Christian? You know, you do that by doing what they did in New Testament times to become a Christian. That is through hearing the gospel, Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." By believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Jesus said, if we don't believe in Him, that heaven will not be our home. John chapter 8, verse number 24. That we must repent of our sins. That means a change of heart that results in a change of action. We're going to stop doing wrong and begin to do that which is right. Luke chapter 13 and verse 3, Jesus said, "I tell you nay, except ye repent, shall likewise perish." Paul stated in Acts chapter 17 and verse 30 that God once winked at this ignorance, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Then we must confess our faith in Christ that He is the Son of God before others, Matthew 10, 32 and 33, like the eunuch did in Acts 8, 37 when he said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And then be baptized for the remission of our sins, Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, to arise to walk in newness of life, having been added to the church by the Lord, Acts 2 and verse number 47. We'll assist you in doing that. You can contact us today. We'll meet with you and study with you. and baptize you into Christ for the remission of your sins this very day. If we can help you, give us a call at 234-5055. Until next time, thank you so much for being with us on today's program.
You've been listening to Eternal Truth Radio program brought to you each Sunday morning at this same time by the Mill Street Church of Christ. We appreciate you listening to the program and encourage you to continue doing so each Lord's Day. Be sure to tell others about the program, and if we can be of assistance to you in your obedience to the gospel of Christ, give us a call at 234-5055 or 878-6108. And until next week, spend time meditating on God's eternal truth.